Welcome back from the break, and welcome to Component 8, Unit 1, Second Lecture. In our last brief lecture, we talked a little bit about the Institute of Medicine's initiative for improving healthcare patient safety and efficiency, and how technology played a role. We also defined what an electronic health record system was and talked a little bit about the history then and now, as well as the advantages to installing an EHR system. Lastly, we talked a little bit about the client-server model, and we talked about the fact that the client-server model in the computing world is a structure that separates tasks or workloads between service providers, called servers, and service requesters, called clients, and that usually a client's computer and a server computer are on two separate devices. So let's talk a little bit about typical server elements in a client-server model for an EHR system. There are basically three types of servers that you will see in any EHR system, but not necessarily limited to these three servers. First of all, you're going to see an application server. Most of today's in-house EHR servers are based on this client-server model system. An application server, or group of servers, are the servers which actually house the EMR, or patient management application. This is the application that clients will call upon to retrieve data and organize the data before sending it to the client system. The database server. This is where all of the compiled patient data is stored for future use. And then there's also Citrix or terminal servers. These are servers that allow support of thin clients. Thin clients are computers that require the server to fulfill much of the system's functional role. A computer terminal is an example of a thin client. It holds no real computational programming. Instead, it's programmed only to focus on graphically displaying information requested to the server by the user. A Citrix server is a type of thin server, thin client support server. In some cases, once again, application, database, and terminal services can reside on the same computer system. However, it's important to point out that potential performance requirements for each of these services do not allow this to be recommended except only in the smallest of workplace environments. The Institute of Medicine lists eight crucial core elements for an electronic health record system on the server side, and these include health information and data storage component. That would be the database. A results management application, essentially project management software designed for use in the healthcare setting. An order entry and management application. Decision support applications. That's software designed to compile and compare data from various sources to assist healthcare providers in making decisions. Electronic communication and connectivity software, which typically runs in the background and allows various applications to efficiently talk to one another over the network. Patient support software, administration process application, and reporting and population health management software. It's important to note that vendors often supply modules and additional components customized to meet specific needs of individual organizations and practices. For instance, if you have an oncology practice, you may elect to purchase the oncology module from a vendor, which will give you some flexibility in how the software utilizes data specific to your industry setting. Let's talk a little bit about EHR, Electronic Health Record Client Systems now. EHR systems make medical records available to multiple simultaneous users. They do so with tablets and laptops and PCs, all of this allowing instantaneous access for the healthcare staff who move around in the health centers. The devices in which they connect to these servers are called clients. Clients use client application software to securely connect to and poll the EHR server to fulfill user requests. After receiving the requested data, the client software then organizes and displays the data in a manner that the user can efficiently view. If the user chooses to alter the data, then the client software takes the data and parses it back to the server where it can be processed and stored in the database. Using an EHR system to read and write a patient's record is not only possible through a workstation, but depending on the type of system and healthcare setting, may also be possible through mobile devices that are handwriting capable. But we'll talk about that more in the hardware segment. Speaking of hardware, let's talk a little bit about computer hardware. Hardware can best be described as the nuts and bolts that make things work. The physical components of servers, workstations, laptops, the boxes, and all the stuff that goes inside them are all hardware, as is printers, scanners, routers, switches. Having the proper hardware to run your EHR system is just as important as the software components. Without the proper hardware, the system will not run as efficiently and may even exhibit compatibility issues with your EHR system. Here's just a partial list of some of the many hardware components most often attributed to EHR systems. Servers, workstations, laptops, tablets, PDAs, flat panel monitors, scanners, printers, storage and backup devices, shredders, medical and diagnostic treatment items that connect directly to the EHR system in some way. These are all hardware devices. The network itself requires hardware devices to run, such as routers and switches. Even the cabling can be considered hardware. One such piece of hardware is the server. The servers are basically the home base of the core EHR system components. In a hardware sense, it's a computer designed efficiently to run server applications. In the EHR arena, that includes the patient index, where the patient data resides, or the database, the patient management software, and various modules designed for parsing user requests. The servers may also house user management tools for making administrative changes. That would include updates to the software or error correction. You may also see servers that allow connectivity to VPN or other network resources. As stated earlier, a server essentially serves other computers on the network. It typically houses applications and databases required by desktop or laptops to access information or run centralized programs. Because servers are a critical infrastructure component, they are usually located in a protective environment, not generally accessible to the general public. Servers are expected to run pretty much continuously throughout their entire life cycle. Most enterprise-level servers are known to be very fault-tolerant. That is, they come with built-in redundant hardware systems to ensure reliable operation. In many healthcare environments, even a short-term failure can cost more than purchasing and installing the system itself. Most of these systems come with hot swappable accessories or parts that can be changed out without turning off the server in order to minimize downtime due to failure or maintenance. Servers come in all shapes and sizes, and it's important that you should consult your information system staff, your hardware vendor, and/or your consultant to determine the hardware specs required from your organization. As part of the selection process, you should consult with your EHR vendor as well. In general, your server should be extremely reliable, with as many built-in redundancies as possible to minimize your system downtime. Storage requirements of an EHR system server are largely dependent on the specific EHR or patient management application and the volume of scanned documents. For a typical practice, the general rule of thumb includes 5 gigabytes per year per provider. It's important to discuss your patient load with your vendor prior to determine your short and long-term storage capacity needs before purchasing your EHR product. Some things to consider when choosing a server include, but are not limited to, the brand. Is the brand of server you're considering reputable? Do the reviews fare well for this particular model you're looking at? Do they provide a warranty consistent with institutional needs? Operating system. Is the server designed to work well with the operating system needed to run the EHR software? Processors and processing speed. In general, the higher the processing speed, the faster the computer can make computations. Is the processor specs in line with the EHR requirements? RAM, or random access memory. RAM is essentially the working memory of any computer. Computers use RAM to store short-term computations. Additional RAM allows the computer to work with more information at the same time, which can actually have a dramatic effect on the total system performance. Hard drive configuration. Is there enough hard drive space to accommodate expanding your storage needs over the next year, or 5 years for that matter? Will it support redundant hard drive configurations such as RAID, bearing in mind that many RAID configurations dramatically increase the amount of hard drive space needed? And network cards. Does the network card or cards on the server adequately support the amount of network traffic expected for that particular server? Is there the capacity to add additional network cards? And don't forget options for load balancing. Other features to think about include monitors, keyboards, a CD or DVD drive for updates, and a UPS or uninterrupted power supply system in case there's a power outage. For smaller practices, the added cost of a server infrastructure may not be warranted. There are hosted solutions available for such situations. When considering a hosted solution, these variables should be considered. Costs. Typically, internal servers provide higher initial costs for setup. External servers or hosted servers incur monthly fees and often are based on usage. Will the monthly fees outpace the costs of purchasing and maintaining an in-house infrastructure? And if so, how long will it reach this crucial level? Management. Internal servers require staff needed to implement and manage the servers and to perform software and hardware maintenance and backup duties. Hosted solutions, or external, the customer is at the mercy of the vendor for any scheduled maintenance. The upside, of course, is that the hosted solution provides all of the scheduled maintenance and upgrades. Power. Is your organization capable of utilizing the full power of your server? Absolutely. However, a hosted solutions, they often share resources over multiple servers. This can mean a performance degradation depending on how many users are using the same server that your industry is. Connectivity. Internally, you can control the speed and connectivity to your servers, maximizing them with upgrades. External or hosted solutions. All the locations are remote, and connectivity means that you may be shared with other customers, reducing the speed available to you. If there's a network outage beyond your institution, that may also affect your connectivity to hosted solutions. Let's talk a little bit about EHR clients. A tablet PC. Workstations are prevalent in most of today's healthcare settings. A typical workstation is a high-end microcomputer connected to the computer network via a wired or cabled interface, and is intended primarily to be used by one person at a time. Workstations can run a variety of operating systems, including Windows 2000, XP, Windows 7, and even some flavors of Unix. Most commonly, they're used and often already in place in most healthcare environments, and they tend to be one of the most economical solutions when installing an EHR product. A tablet PC is a portable computer equipped with a touchscreen and stylus. Also known as a slate or a blade, the tablet PCs are intended to offer a more mobile version of the PC, which can be used where notebooks are impractical or unwieldy, or do not provide the needed functionality. Tablet PCs usually use a wireless interface to connect to the network. There are three types of tablet PCs available. A booklet PC has two separate screens and actually folds like a book. Slate PCs, which resemble writing slates, are tablet PCs without a dedicated keyboard. For text input, users rely on handwriting recognition software via what's called an active digitizer, or touching an on-screen keyboard using their fingertips or a stylus. Convertible notebooks have a base body with an attached keyboard. Typically, the base of the convertible attaches to the display in a single joint, which we call a swivel hinge, or a rotating hinge, to allow for a 180-degree range of rotation. Both laptops and tablets make use of rechargeable batteries to allow several hours of mobility in the workplace without the use of a power cord. Tablets and laptops offer several advantages as well as a few disadvantages when compared to workstations. Laptops and tablets allow additional mobility compared to workstations. Laptops and tablets save time by providing data interface at the provider's fingertips, negating the need for frequent trips to a workstation. And using laptops and tablets can be cheaper if you have to look at providing extra infrastructure, such as ports are going to be needed in order to add more workstations. There are disadvantages to laptops and tablets. They're typically more expensive than PCs, and their small size makes them subject to theft, which means extra security precautions must be taken for the devices. They're easily broken. The average lifespan for these devices is about 3 years. And lastly, they will require additional support, cleaning, and maintenance by the provider and/or IT staff. Personal digital assistants, or PDAs, are devices that combine computing, telephone, fax, and networking features like tablets. Most PDAs begin as pen-based, using stylus rather than keyboard for input. PDAs allow users to remotely access patient data pretty much from any location, as long as they have connectivity. They offer similar advantages and disadvantages to tablets and laptops. Many providers incur the expense of providing PDA support, since they support these personal notes, applications, and phone capabilities, as well as the physician's calendar in the device. Integrating PDA support into an existing computer environment that does not already have it will require additional hardware and infrastructure resources to adopt. Let's talk a little bit about the network that your EHR sits on. Well, first of all, what is a network? Well, a network is a collection of computers and devices connected by communications channels, which facilitates communications among users and allows users to share resources with other users. Wired cabling and a protocol called Ethernet are used to communicate between various components. Ethernet uses physical wiring to connect devices. Frequently deployed devices include hubs, switches, bridges, and/or routers. Wireless LAN technology is designed to connect devices without wiring. These devices use radio signals as a transmission medium. Some additional terms to know when talking about networks. Local area network, or LAN. This is basically a connection of workstations and servers within a single demographic location, say a clinic or a hospital. A wide area network connects workstations across multiple locations, sometimes often great distances. Say two hospitals, one on the east side of town and one on the west side of town. That would be a wide area network once they're connected together. Point-to-point T1 and fractional T1s. These are dedicated broadband lines that connect locations in a WAN. They're usually provided by something called an ISP provider, a VPN or virtual private network. This is a way of securely accessing a specific network over the internet, often using specialized software and through a process called encryption. Firewalls. Firewalls are software or hardware that prevents unauthorized access within a network. They also can monitor network traffic and may include VPN and virus scanning functions within the application appliance. Your network infrastructure must be able to reliably support data requirements for your EMR application. Insufficient network capabilities will degrade the application performance and increase the risk of user rejection. Be sure before adding additional some things to consider when assessing network usage. How many users will need simultaneous access to the network? What are the bandwidth, such as how much data can traverse the network at a given moment? What are the bandwidth requirements to your EHR system? That usually means interfacing with the vendor, analyzing how many users will be accessing data at the same time. All this are applicable to the bandwidth requirements. Also, are there any special bandwidth needs over and above those bandwidth requirements for scanning equipment or other medical equipment that may not be thought of? And is there sufficient connectivity between these internal resources and any remote resources that may be out there, such as satellite facilities or at-home physicians needing to access data on the fly? And have you accommodated for such remote access through the use of VPN or other means? Be sure before adding additional wireless infrastructure to your system to have a consultant conduct a wireless connectivity survey to ensure adequate coverage. Also, as demand for remote off-site access continues to grow, be sure to explore with your vendor how efficiently your EHR system will integrate with your existing or future VPN network. This will, as said earlier, allow your users to connect remotely to your infrastructure and retrieve patient data more efficiently. Well, this concludes 8.1, Components of a Typical EHR System. We look forward to seeing you at our next lecture. Have a great day.